At what point does it become unskillful to reflect on like one's like own like good deeds? Like, what's that line? Is it like a feeling or an intention?
Well, I think one of the things is the just degree of obsession of self, in the sense it doesn't really matter what we're doing. One of the things we need to be attentive to, in terms of is this working, is it beneficial, is does it help wholesome dhammas increase and unwholesome dhammas decrease? So that in this case it's a counterpoint to the, especially in that context and generally the habit for most of us is to, you know, to drift towards the negative, either negative worldview or negative self-perception, and to be able to create a solid counterpoint to that. And so then that would be a way of increasing wholesome dhammas and decreasing unwholesome dhammas. If it becomes, you know, turns into a kind of self-aggrandizement or a deluded perception of one's own specialness, then of course that is unwholesome. So then that's, you know, unwholesome dhammas increasing, wholesome dhammas decreasing. So it's paying attention to the quality of the mind, the effect that it has. And in general, that function of recollection of generosity, of virtue, siddham, sati, recollection of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, that provide a refuge for one. Those are things that lay an extremely wholesome foundation in the mind, so that, you know, I think again, it's you know, for the, you know, as a broad brush generalization, kind of the Western psyche doesn't really go to that. It goes to things that are flaws, that are faults, that are our religious framework. Even if we're not brought up with a Christian background, just our cultural perspective is one of we're born in sin, we're basically flawed and need to we have to rely on something external in order to be kind of saved. And I remember watching a documentary on the royal family of Thailand. It's done a long time ago, late 1970s, it's done by the BBC, so it was very, very well done, a 2-hour documentary. And one of the parts that the documentary was addressing was the part of the King of Thailand being a leader, supporter of Buddhism, or a patron of Buddhism. And of course the king himself has a very strong practice. But anyway, the interviewer was kind of talking about that kind of Western perception of function of religion is how to deal with kind of the sins of the human world and the sins and the king looked just really puzzled, and he said, "Oh, yeah, Buddhism, we don't believe in original sin, we believe in original purity." And it's just a whole different framework. So that is a counterpoint for the and to be able to recollect that, there are these good things that we've done, and that we are doing, that we want to do, and they actually shape our life. We don't have to, and they have an effect. So that's actually an important part. Like in the 40. The Visuddhimagga sort of pulls up 40 different types of meditation techniques, and those recollections are part of it. The recollection of generosity, recollection of virtue, recollection of devas, recollection of Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Those are ways of cultivating, spiritual cultivation, quite central. I think something else that comes to mind is just the Western researchers interviewing Tibetans who've undergone long periods of incarceration and torture, and finding that they psychologically have a quite a different result or long-lasting effects of say post-traumatic stress, because of a whole different framework of their own perception of self. It was quite a revelation for say people who were in the psychological world.
Say more about that, the framework that they're working from?
Oh, well, framework of Buddha Dhamma Sangha as a refuge of a confidence in their own virtue and goodness, and a sense of compassion for those who have been torturing. It's quite. It has a whole different effect. And so, like, so much of that negativity and self-perception of being flawed is ends up sort of, you know, why me? Or me being beaten down by the world, or something else, some force outside, and not having a positive counterpart.
It's also that sense of powerlessness, that if I'm flawed and it's external,
there's
nothing I can do about it, and therefore why? Depressing, despondent.
Yes. Well, it's also to a certain degree, it gets quite arbitrary, especially if one is that sense of everything is positive externally, one has to. In terms of a refuge or a salvation. And sometimes, it's just, one, it feels capricious, and there isn't a consistent storyline. especially in terms of your Christian theology, because sometimes God's not a benevolent presence. It's like that Gary Larson cartoon. That's pretty well. But this kind of guy walking along the street and kind of in a Gary Larson kind of way, and then he's walking along a sidewalk, and he's walking in a building, and then there's a safe on a winch outside this building, and coming down just sort of over, this guy's walking underneath it along the sidewalk. It's up about 6 stories, and then up above that is kind of a picture of this cartoon figure of with the long hair and the white robes and God, and he's got his finger hovered over the smite button.
Also, I was remembering that one of the things that His Holiness had said was that the Tibetans, and the Buddhists in general, faith in the law of karma, in impersonal law of karma, is also very important in that kind of being able to accept, sort of like we don't know why.
That
there are causes and conditions, but not having punished for them, But it's just sort of like things have been put in motion, and the best thing I can do is learn how to accept and react in a positive way.
Respond to I can, in terms of the law of karma, and I can put good into this and give results at some point down the line. I can respond to it, which is. Of course, your fundamental definition of right view from a conventional viewpoint, conventional understanding of right view.